Hi, it's Larry here from Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. A little bell went off on YouTube if you subscribe over there, and all of a sudden, here we are. So thank you for liking and subscribing and doing all that stuff. And did I do it right,
Larry? You're finally there. You've gotten it. You've got the spiel.
Nice work. It's,
it is what it is. So it
took 2 years.
It's great to have everybody back. Welcome back. Showcase week. We had the Xbox showcase a few days ago, depending on when you're listening to this. And Jeff, you were in LA. Rebecca, where were you? I don't know where you were.
I was cozied up, so you might be able to tell I have a new background. So I moved into San Francisco, and so I was cozied up at home for once.
So that's not a background. When you say background, people think like a virtual. That's real.
Yes, sorry. This is my background / home.
Right.
But yeah, so I was cozied up on the couch watching with my coffee, and I have to say I quite enjoyed that. It's nice.
Can we talk about your background real quick and how daring it is? Because you've got a mirror back there. And if you're in a meeting with somebody and if you're not paying attention, they're going to see that you're, you know, playing a game or like surf. So that is a commitment to the viewer. I appreciate it.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. Anyway, welcome.
I'm confident. Yeah.
You are bold and confident. I appreciate that. Welcome back, everybody. I was in Mexico. I just got back last night before we record this. So I'm committed to the show, and I appreciate you guys being committed as well to come back right after we were gone for 2 weeks. Because we stay quiet. Mm-hmm. Let people kind of ruminate over the work that they have to do. And then the internet likes to chase its tail over rumors and whatnot.
You've been quoted many, many times. Larry, can we talk about Cafeteria Gate real quick?
Did you see this, Rebecca?
Did you hear this, Rebecca? Yeah.
Oh, no, I did not. God.
So I don't know if you have it on your phone or if you can, but let me see if I can pull it up because it's
ridiculous. So, why did you explain this? Like the week before, 2 weeks before we went down for showcase, Larry and I, we were just in the office, normal work day, and we went down for lunch. And in the cafe, we run into Aaron Greenberg. He was, the head of games marketing here at Xbox. And he's like, hey, let's just take a selfie. And we're like, oh yeah, sure. Of course. Why not?
Cause he, by the way, he's a selfie king. I am not selfie person. So I don't particularly care for any of that. Actually, so I'm going to get it ready here, Jeff. So just,
all right. So it was a very just serendipitous meeting. We were finishing lunch. He was just coming down. We took a selfie. We talked about coffee and off we go. Next thing we know, I'm getting tagged. And you're getting tagged. I notice it more. You probably get tagged all the time, Larry, on Twitter and other social channels. And the picture was seen on Instagram stories. It was then elevated, and people thought it was a hint because that's the time of year where everyone, like you said, chases their tails and are looking for a hint everywhere. Like, so do you have it, Larry?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up here right now. So what it was, again, what do you mean it can't be found?
Well, let us know if you see anything innocent or amiss, Rebecca, in this photo.
Because it just didn't make any sense. I was like, wait a minute. What? I texted this to Jeff. So let me bring it up here. Here it is. So here we are.
All right.
Okay. Now this, that right here is the photo. And that's Jeff and I. We're coming. Now, what do you see in this photo? Let's.
Abel.
Right. There you go. And so all of a sudden, as Jeff said, there's all this news stories being written about Jeff and I and Aaron. Is this a tease? Oh my gosh, they're gonna. Now, Rebecca, you've been in that cafeteria. You know what that word is. It's table.
Table. Right? Yeah, a very normal word to show up in a cafeteria.
Because I think it's I don't remember what it is. Is it like, what is the name of that?
Farm to table or,
right, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
anyway. And then, of course, Fable was in the show. So
It was right at the top of the show, actually.
So there are some people out there that are saying, we knew it. It was a hint.
And let's be very clear. At that point, I guarantee you, as God is my witness, Jeff and I, and I don't know about Aaron. I can't speak for Aaron. But at that point, Jeff and I knew nothing about the show. Nothing. We didn't know Fable was in. We didn't know Fable certainly was the beginning of the show. So this is just kind of like, nope. Abel.
Oh, that's anyway. Really funny.
So that's why we don't have a show for like the 2 weeks leading in, because anything that could be said could be, but that is a new that's a new high, I would say.
Or a new low. I don't know how you look at it, but that is, that was, yeah, that was something. It was, cause Jeff, you had not seen it when I texted it to you, right?
No. I was just like, why am I getting dead? The funny thing is, that was elevated by Idle Sloth, who I think was having a good time. He's a Irish, influencer who I ended up actually meeting and giving a fair amount of stick to about that. He listens to the show and great guy. And, but that,
So he was with you in LA?
Yeah. I got to meet him. Again, super nice guy. He is maybe the most active person on Twitter this side of Wario64. I highly recommend you follow him, by the way. If anything's happening in the gaming world, he catches it first. Mm-hmm. I did ask him if he sleeps, and he insisted he did.
What's his day job, or is that his day job?
I don't want, he doesn't want, you know, his personal information
out
there.
Fair point.
He goes by Idle Sloth, and there you go.
Okay. Anyway, so that's one of the, and Jeff, that's a great example, case in point, of why we don't do a show leading 2 weeks up, because you just don't know. Anyway, so welcome back, everybody. I'm back from Mexico, Jess from LA, Rebecca from her couch a few feet to her right.
Well, I would love to know, like, what was it like in Mexico City, Larry? I feel like Mexico has some of our most passionate fans, for sure.
That is an understatement. I'll tell you this, is it was... an experience. So, you know, we had our event on Sunday morning. The place was packed. We had 250 people in there. I mean, the place could hold 250. It was at capacity. And the fans are just so lovely, because they're just so excited to be able to talk about Xbox. They love Xbox. They love our games. You know, there was a little bit of disappointment at the end there, because everybody wants to see their game in the show, and some of them were like, oh, I didn't see X, Y, or Z, and so they were disappointed by that. But they did get, you know, they love Starfield, they love Forza, they certainly loved Fable and Star Wars, which was also on the show, and so on and so forth. So it was just great to go down there. I did that on Sunday, and then Monday I met with a bunch of influencers and community members, two different groups of, I think it was 10 or 12 each. And we hung out, I did a Q&A with them, and then we played Halo. And
nice.
I think we played a total of 6 Halo games between the two sessions, and I think I came in first in 3 of them. Not going to say, so.
Okay.
These are hardcore gamers, so I'm just telling you.
Experience.
That's impressive.
Experience over youth sometimes.
I brought it, and they were like, I was like, numero uno. So... but no, it was great. I didn't have a lot of chance to sightsee or do any of the things I wanted to see, because I was there to work.
You had to eat good, though. I mean, food in Mexico.
Can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. Top tier, hold on, talk for a second. I got to show you something. I'll be right back.
All right. So here's the thing that Larry did last time we went to Mexico, which was XO18. We were hyping up the crowd, doing some stuff, and Larry gets up there, and he genuinely has fans there, and people are going crazy. And he's like, give me the mic. And we're like, oh my God, what is he going to say?
Ready?
And then he just goes, hola, Mexico. And everyone goes, yeah. And then he just hands the mic back.
So we go out to a restaurant.
That's all he said.
That was it. Okay. But no, we were talking about someone else. Larry, go on, please.
No, we go out to a restaurant, and I love Mexican food. And especially since I was growing up in Connecticut, that wasn't really Mexican food, I came to find out.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, we got to this restaurant at this hotel, and that I had the salsa. It was called matcha salsa. Salsa matcha. Okay. And I loved it. So I asked the chef, I said, what is it? And he comes out with a bag of all the chilies sealed up.
Yeah. Wow.
So all the chilies to make it, so I can take it home and make it. He's got them all labeled. A sample of the salsa.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
A note. And the recipe.
That is incredible.
So I could not believe it. I mean, so now I was so excited. Because some of these peppers you can't even find in the United States. At least I can't.
Yeah,
I don't
really
know where to look.
Find them, yeah.
One of my favorite is Paseo de Oaxaca, which is these are like a good smoky one. And
you got to make that, Larry.
Right. So I have all these things, and I'm thinking, How am I going to get through passport control with these? Because they always tell you no plants, no seeds,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So I had these, you know, in fact, I think I still have it in here. Do I have it in here?
Yeah. Going through customs, they're like, wow, this guy really likes spicy peppers.
So I just threw this out this morning, but I had everything declared. I had it all written down. even down to the stuffed animal that I bought my daughter. I was like, I had everything in here, what I thought it would cost, the name of the peppers. You know, I go through, he says, he looks at my passport, stamp says, welcome home, Larry. And I was like, what about, don't worry about it. Okay. So walked in. So anyway,
I feel like
so,
if it's dried too, it's a little bit easier to take through customs.
Vacuum sealed.
But
they don't want you bringing fresh fruit in and out.
Yeah.
Something where they could be a, yeah.
But anyway, so to answer your question, Rebecca, I had some incredible food. It was I am a big salsa fan and I love all the different types of salsas that you find down there. And this one, matcha, which I guess in Spanish means man. So it's the man salsa. It's very spicy.
Can we got to make that. We should do a live show. Please, Larry, you're going to hurt our ratings. It's a family show.
So I totally forgot about that because I was so panicked. Wow. I wasn't getting through last night. So thank you for asking. I wasn't planning on sharing it, or I would have had everything here. So no, it was great down there. The audience in Mexico. Of course, that was Fan Fest. We had one in, where's the other one? We had Poland? One in Warsaw. We had one in
Australia,
Melbourne, which is where I went last year. And we were also in, not Sao Paulo. Where were we?
I think it might have been Sao Paulo.
Maybe it was Sao Paulo. No? Anyway, it was an amazing, amazing time. So just, it's so great to go out into the world, into outside of the Seattle bubble and represent Xbox. Cause you see people because I run into people that are, you know, work at Xbox at the grocery store, right? It's not a big deal, but when you go out there to the rest of the world, these people are excited and they want to talk. And I want to talk about, Xbox with them, you know, what game do they like seeing? What are they playing? They all want to know about Phil. They all asked about you both. A lot of the folks listening to the podcast, they asked about both of you. Where's Rebecca? Oh, Rebecca's not here. Where's Jeff? I have no idea where Jeff is. So, and anyway, so it was lovely. So thank you for asking, but, there we go. Why don't we go into what we're playing? We've got a couple interviews lined up, so we got to get to those, but I figure we can kind of go through what we're playing. Jeff, do you want to kick it off first?
Sure. Yeah. I have it over here on the dashboard behind me. It's been a few weeks, but I spent, I would say most of my time, playing through, actually, I don't think the last time we talked, I hadn't played through Planet of Lana. I think I finished it, played this game. It's only 5-6 hours. It's on Game Pass. One of my favorites of the year, like no doubt. Go. Phil's been playing it, been talking to him about it. And everyone that I know has played it has loved it. Please play Planet of Lana. Also back here, Street Fighter 6, you will see that right there. I've been playing just the new mode, the World Tour mode.
By the way, I want to call out something real quickly. If you notice how Jeff is able to do this, that's from his years of being a weatherman, being able to point on the screen behind him and do it so accurately.
You see these green cells coming through. That's a trough.
Because I can't even do that, Jeff. So I have to comment you and recommend you really recognize your talent there.
Yeah, I have monitors like here and here so I can see what I'm doing. It's an acquired skill. Anyway, so Street Fighter 6, there's a World Tour mode. Anyway, I would say the closest thing, I love it, even if you don't think you're a fighting game fan, but maybe you're a Yakuza fan, Street Fighter 6, the World Tour mode is effectively like Yakuza. You're running around like kind of a fictional New York, but then you're meeting Chun-Li and then you befriend her and you get into fights and you learn some of her moves. And it's like for the first time ever in Street Fighter, you get to make the character you want, not just what they look like, but their moveset. And then you earn money, you get new equipment, you upgrade. My character looks like, it's like, I don't care. I'm trying to make them as silly looking as possible if it makes the level go up. And I'm totally into it. I have barely even gotten into just like playing PvP, which it has all of that stuff. It trains people. And it also has like a sort of a new, I think they call it the modern control scheme, that's very much like Smash Brothers, where instead of hitting like, you know, a Hadouken move or a Shoryuken, which I've been doing since the 90s, so I'm used to it. But if you were just getting into fighting, it might be like, why do I need to hit that in that direction? It teaches you, you can play the special moves a little more simply, and then over time you can move to the more traditional mode. So really, I would say this fighting game has it all for a fighting game. It's an awesome entry point, and I love it. The other game I'm playing just a ton is Diablo right now. And I think every night I go on to my friend's
playing. You know who's not playing
Diablo 4? Who?
Whoopi.
Well, I read about that. If she looks in the right places on Reddit, she could find a way to play. But anyway, it's Diablo 4. Just like congrats again to the folks at Blizzard, to our good friend Rod Ferguson, and actually another a lot of other friends that we've worked with in the past who are working on that game in some capacity. They have killed it from everything from like the game itself to the marketing to just
the,
everywhere.
The cutscenes are amazing. I watched all of them last night.
They're You did?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right on.
Yeah. I've never played Diablo for the story. But the story's great. I just love it. And the thing, and I think we've talked about this in the past, the thing that's so awesome about it, because we've been very busy the last couple of weeks, I haven't played as much as some of my friends. I'm like level 25, like pretty rookie here. My best friend's level 73. And we can play together.
I know who that is.
And it's a successful, you know exactly who that is. And at level 73, maybe with the second character. It doesn't matter. We can jump in together and have challenging, encounters, but it's good and great drops for everyone. And kudos to them for like really bringing people together. It doesn't matter. He's playing on PC. I'm playing on Xbox. Play with folks anywhere. And love it.
Love it.
What about you, Rebecca? What are you playing?
Yeah, tell us, Rebecca. Bring it.
Yeah, well, you already talked about Planet of Lana, but I've been playing. I'm not an experienced weatherman like you. But you can see a little bit of it. So I've been playing Planet of Lana. I actually have like a really short clip that I wanted to share too, just to give you all a taste of it. I didn't realize it was only, you said you finished it in like 6 hours?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, dang. Oh, I'm bummed. Okay, I'm like an hour and a half, 2 hours in. But so it's really cool. So basically you have this little cat monkey pet called Mui, who you can assign to like do tasks, and you kind of work together to defeat these different like puzzles and like avoid these monsters.
Whoa.
This one took me a really long time to do, and I was kind of like screaming in the living room because every time the like droid monster would come close and be like, like kind of panic, but eventually got through it. It was very satisfying. But I love the art style. Like you can only see a little bit here, but it's everyone keeps referencing Ghibli. It does feel very My Neighbor Totoro, like as you're like walking through and you have Mui following you. I love the watercolor design. So it's like Jeff said, it's on Game Pass. Go try it. It's a really lovely game.
It's Phil Spencer approved, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. Aside from that, you know, Minecraft's Trails and Tales update came out last week. So I didn't really get the chance to talk about it because we were offline.
Busy.
But this new update is really cool. It adds a lot of fun things, but in particular, I love, you've probably seen on like Twitter or like people posting about it, I think it's called the Cherry Grove, but it's like the chair with the cherry blossoms. Mm-hmm. So now there's all kinds of like, you know, beautiful, like, you know, you can see like the petals falling from the cherry blossoms. It's really cool. There's also archaeology, which is pretty neat. I feel like the, you know, 10-year-old me who got super into Egyptology after The Mummy came out would be very, very happy if she could see this coming. And then aside from that, you know, I mean, honestly, like I feel like I've been watching and reading so much stuff with like Starfield in the last like 3 days since the Starfield Direct. I think it was just
a really good show. There was a ton to look at. I don't know if you're done talking about what you're playing, but we can segue kind of into the showcase stuff if you want.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. I got to visit Bethesda Game Studios in May, and I got to like meet Todd Howard in person.
Isn't he amazing? He's so great to talk to.
Yeah. I love meeting people in the industry who you can tell are really passionate and like genuine about their work. And I feel like he definitely seems that way to me. I had also asked him like a question about like, you know, are the planets like procedurally generated? Is this going to be different for each player? And I feel like he did a really good job answering these questions in the Starfield Direct and kind of setting player expectations. And I actually just watched the interview that he did with Ryan McCaffrey at IGN this morning. And I thought that was really great. Ryan asked some really smart questions. And I think it kind of contextualizes like why a game like this takes so long and so much effort to build.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, what about you guys?
No, I mean, when I saw that, I happened to watch it before it aired, a little bit before it aired. So I just was like, my jaw was on the ground because I was like, wow, this is a lot of game. Wow, this is a lot of game.
Yeah,
wow, this
is a lot of game.
And you can do that? What?
Yeah.
I can board ships? I was like, when he got to the boarding ships and you can steal ships, I'm like, okay, now I'm in. I mean, I was always in, but I was like, this is too much. So
It looks incredible. Yeah. And look at that.
Wow, that's really nice.
Larry, why don't you go full really screen? Nice. I can let people know what it is we are seeing here.
Well, I don't know. Should I, Jeff? Do they really want to see
it? I think you should. Okay, there we go. The gloves are on. We're about to embark on an epic journey with the Starfield Limited Edition wireless controller and perhaps something else that you might have there. Cool thing about that controller, it features transparent triggers with visible bronze rumble motors underneath. Full side and back grips designed to resemble spaceship panels and a sleek Constellation-inspired color mark around the Xbox button. With up to 40 hours of battery life, you'll have more than enough fuel for your voyage into the deepest reaches of space. Now, you can experience superb audio and chat quality with the Xbox Wireless Headset Starfield Limited Edition. Secure your space fit with the Constellation red and white striped headband. Communicate with your crew using the transparent mic boom and feel fully immersed with audio tones that are custom made for your adventure. So what I'm hearing...
Look, the light's on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. So what I'm hearing is the sounds that you hear on this are different than the black Xbox wireless headset. There's been a couple different ones. They're special Starfield ones, and I haven't gotten to listen to it yet.
I haven't listened to it. I'm going to plug it in later and listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. So these are available now. The controller is $79.99 United States dollars retail price. The headset is $124.99. These are available now. I'm pretty sure these are going to sell out. A lot of people are getting after them, and I'm definitely getting that controller without question. D-pad. Yeah.
Well, I love the transparent accents. Like, I remember I had a controller for my Nintendo 64 that was transparent, and I thought that it was like the most high tech cool thing. And I love this. I think this looks really nice, and it's cute that the headset has a little transparent piece too to match.
This is one good looking controller. I mean,
that one's going right up on the wall.
I've got so many controllers in here. I mean, it's going to go up to next to one of my second favorite controllers, which is the Sea of Thieves one.
Same thing. I got the Sea of Thieves one right on my wall here, and the Forza Horizon 5.
That one's really good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I signed a lot of the Forza Horizon 5 ones in Mexico. A lot of them.
Oh really?
Yeah, because it takes place in Mexico. They love that. It was amazing. Yeah, I signed a lot of those. They're such a great.
Larry, can I do a quick?
You can do whatever you want, Jeffrey.
No, I don't. Rebecca, please continue.
I was just going to say, I need to find a better way to store all of my controllers because right now I need to like physically look over my shoulder. But right now I just have them all shoved into my like media console. But I want to get like one of those nice like ways to display it because I have some really cool ones from like Minecraft. I think I have
let me show you what I have.
What was it? Like the Scarlet.
You have a lot of wall space there, Rebecca. So I went onto Etsy. And there's people who basically 3D print these controller holders for a pretty low price. And then you can't see it's not in the shop, but then you just use a command hook. So you don't have to drill into the, you know, like a adhesive, you know, I think they're called command hooks. So you don't have to drill into the wall.
This is one way that I display them. If you want to hear, let me see if I can go full screen here and take a look. It's these are really, it's a really great way to do it because you can get them on Amazon. It's like a controller tree.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? So when it's...
Do they spin?
They can, but it's not the most stable.
Yeah, don't drop them on camera.
Yeah, so anyway, that's a really cool... I mean, you can get them like with four or six, and there's tons of stuff. Jeff has his... I don't know if you can see it in this shot. He's got his they're kind of creeping out up on the wall there. Yeah, there's tons of ways to display them, so... Cool. But yeah.
You could rotate the camera, of course. There you go. Nice. Anyway, so yeah, there's just a little thing that I got on Etsy. Anyway, while you're full screen, can I show you?
You sure can. It's ROG time.
So we've talked about this in previous weeks. This is the Asus ROG Ally, which is a handheld PC. I got to test one out. I loved it so much. I pre-ordered it and it arrived the day after I got back from the showcase, and I just love this thing, and so I got it yesterday. I'm still setting it up, but I'll show you in a minute. But it's just like it's awesome. It feels great. It is a full Windows PC, Windows 11 PC. Yeah. It's got all the docks and everything, and so I can go right in here. I can just sign in using my fingerprint. Boom! It was that fast. Just finger on the top, and then Let's hit one button, and there's all my games, games. That I downloaded last night. Cool. So this is all through Game Pass. I have other games that are not, so I'll be able to add Diablo here because it can just run any launcher. But the first thing I did is I went shopping in my closet with things I already own, you know, or have access to through Game Pass. I also, looking in the store through the Xbox app, I had well over 100 games that were Xbox Play Anywhere. Games that I bought over the course of the last, I don't know, 10 years or so for console that also have an entitlement for PC. And so like I was like, oh, I have all the Yakuza games on here. I can go back and play Like a Dragon if I want to. And of course I do. But a lot of great RPGs.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, of course. Oh, we'll talk about that. But yeah. And of course I had to get Tetris Effect Connected, which is also a Play Anywhere game because Tetris and portables, it's a match that's been made since Game Boy, right?
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
I love this thing. Yeah. It's available now. Asus ROG website or over at Best Buy in America and other retailers as well. I posted about this yesterday and a lot of folks have it. A lot of creators I've talked to are really into it. And again, I hear it plays Diablo really well. So that'll be.
I have mine right over there. We got to get you one, Rebecca. So let's get back into Showcase because I want to get us into those interviews because we got two interviews from the people, some of the games that were in the Showcase. Jeff, can we kind of go through? I mean, we're not going to go through line by line, but I figure you can go through, hit some of the big ones.
Yeah. So we showed on Sunday, we showed 27 different games, 21 of which are coming to Game Pass, which is amazing. There's a huge write-up. I highly recommend you watch this, but a lot of games that people have wanted updates on, like Avowed, like Fable, like Forza Motorsport, like Hellblade 2, we're all given more information on. Then we revealed new things like South of Midnight, Towerborn, 33 Immortals, and of course, we got a huge deep dive into Starfield. If you haven't watched these things, watch them. Like, my words will not do them justice. Yep, they're all there. We have a huge, that is like a 4,000-word blog post with tons and tons there.
News.xbox.com.
There's somebody I want to call out. Metaphor ReFantazio. It's a fantasy RPG from the people that make Persona. The fact that this, I mean, I was very pleased to see both Yakuza or Like a Dragon series and Persona represented very heavily in our show. It just could not have made me happier.
Let's be very clear. Jeff had no influence in that I know of.
I would like to think deep down that I do, but the reality is I did not. Also, that Star Wars Outlaws trailer that was towards the beginning and then seeing it the next day at Ubisoft Forward where you saw the gameplay. Oh my God, does that look incredible? So like this year with Starfield and Forza and so many other games, and then 2024, I mean, just shaping up, just incredible. So check that out. I'm sure you probably already saw it if you watched the show. I want to make sure that you also noted that on Tuesday, we had an Xbox Game Showcase Extended, where we went deeper into games like Avowed and Towerborn. There was a great interview with Keanu Reeves. The Phantom Liberty DLC for Cyberpunk 2077 is looking great and like really like meaty, they're redoing the skill tree stuff, which, you know, very much speaking to me. High on Life has DLC. We saw more about Lies of P. So there was a ton there. And we also talked about, as one thing that I neglected to mention from the showcase, is 27 games, but then also a piece of hardware, and that is the Xbox Series S in carbon black.
Oh, let me see if I can pull that up. Hold on, Jeff.
One of the things people have been asking for is more storage on the Xbox Series S, and well, we're giving it to you.
This is Phil introducing it on the. There she blows.
Yes, it came straight from space, and it is back in black.
No, I don't know why we didn't license AC/DC. I don't know why.
Because, well,
doesn't that really
song
fit the
is
vibe.
Overdone.
Yeah,
looks good. Got a 1 terabyte of storage. I know people wanted more storage. You got your more storage. There it is. So
there you go.
Look at that.
A couple of other things just real quick from Extended. Hi-Fi Rush announced an update called Arcade Challenge, which has some cool stuff. It's coming free for all players who already have access to the game or own the game on July 5th. That is really soon. And a lot of ID at Xbox, in fact, 10 games that were talked about coming to Game Pass. A couple of really quick highlights. Little Kitty, Big City. That one looked really cool. Another Crab's Treasure. Think of like a cartoon Souls-like, which looks really cool. And a game that I had heard about but never had a chance to play. It wasn't on Xbox. Neon White is coming. So that's a single-player speedrunning FPS, which seems really cool. And then one last one, Sea of Stars, which is sort of it's a retro-inspired turn-based RPG. This was a game that when it was first announced, was not announced for Xbox. And Xbox fans made it very clear to the devs, like, we want this game. And the devs listened, which is awesome.
Fantastic.
So that one is going to be coming, and it's coming day one to Game Pass, which is just phenomenal. So Sea of Stars, play it when it comes out. We also talked more about Exo Primal, which is coming from Capcom. That has a beta test, its second open beta test this weekend. So check that out. That is the dinosaur action hunting game, which looks really intense and a lot going on.
It's category.
And then Capcom also showed a bunch more. In our show, they released or revealed for the first time Path of the Goddess, which is coming to Xbox Series X and S and Game Pass and PC as well. They talk more about Exo Primal, a game called Pragmata. They showed more on Dragon's Dogma 2, so they had a bunch going on. And then Ace Attorney, which I've always just associated with Nintendo,
yep,
is coming. Three games are coming to Xbox for the first time in 2024. So these are very interesting games, like sort of how do I even explain it? It's like courtroom drama, but in a game form, and it totally works. So I'm excited that folks will get a chance to play that on Xbox. So there was actually probably a ton more, but trying to speed run this. News.xbox.com. We literally have it all. Check it out.
Yeah, we got there. I'm excited about it. We saw Fable at the top of the show, like we talked about earlier. Sea of Thieves and Monkey Island. I'm excited about that. So
yeah,
I'm the only pirate legend on this show. Very excited about that.
Yes, you are.
And I remind you frequently.
Yes.
I know. What about, Larry, you can try the Flight Sim Dune?
Yeah, I was like, I'll try that. I mean, and then, of course, Flight Simulator 2024 with the fire and the rescue and the, you know, executive.
All these cool activities. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay. Whatever. But yeah, to your point, I'm looking forward to Dune, and that's coming simultaneously releasing with the film later this year. I didn't even realize there was another film coming out later this year.
Yeah.
I got to watch the first one.
It's good. But did you, wait a minute, the first one or the original from the 80s?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Wow.
I'll let you borrow my...
I guess I'm the big Dune fan here. You know what game I was very excited to see for the first time was South of Midnight. So I'm actually just like reading about it a little bit more on Xbox Wire. I didn't realize that they had done an interview because I feel like they showed it was at the beginning. Says it is a third person action adventure set in a magic realist version of the American South. It looks really cool. And it's coming out on Game Pass, which will be great. So I need to read this interview after we after we end.
Yeah, I'm trying to look forward to it.
Yeah, you'll find more about the work they went into the story and what it means. And kudos to the team and both the Wire team and the folks at Compulsion for taking more time to let people know what to expect.
Yes.
What about you, Larry? Anything else you were excited to see from Showcase?
No, I was just, you know, I just like to sit back and just soak it all in, you know, and just enjoy it. Cause, you know, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. You know, Rebecca and I and Jeff, certainly we work on games. We work at Xbox. We work on a lot of these different projects, but we don't get to see the final product until you do, right? Cause there's a lot going on. So we kind of have an idea what was going to be in the show, but when you see it for the first time, generally we've seen it for the first time. So we get to enjoy that excitement with you. And I kind of like that. I like that we get to, like for me, it was, Jeff, you were in LA in the room. I was in Mexico City. You and Pumbaa were watching it on the couch, Rebecca. But you just kind of enjoy that excitement and that, oh, wow, what is that? What's going on here? You know, kind of moment. You know, like when Keanu returned to the screen after a couple of years from, you know. Yeah, so
I love how he like sort of scooted off camera after he was done his part.
Right, he just kind of. I was like, "Where are you going, dude?" He's boom, off he went. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I love the collection of games. And Jeff, as you said, 21 games, 21 of those games are coming to Xbox Game Pass.
Game Pass folks, you're set. You know, that's just some of the ones we showed. Certainly much more is coming to Game Pass as well. So, in fact, we've got two games that I want to talk about. And Rebecca, do you mind bringing us into the interviews? Because we've got, I did an interview with two of the games that we saw in Showcase.
Yeah, let's do it. So first, talking about 33 Immortals, we have the creative director from Thunder Lotus. And then we also have the co-founder and technical director at Microbird Games chatting about Dungeons Hinterberg. So let's get into those interviews.
Stefan Logier, creative director at Thunder Lotus, is here today. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you, Larry.
It's great to have you here. First of all, people may not know Thunder Lotus, but they know what they saw in Showcase earlier this week, 33 Immortals, which is the game that you guys are working on that you've announced. Tell us a little bit about 33 Immortals.
Yes, 33 Immortals is a co-op action roguelike for 33 players. You play as a damned soul who rebels against God's final judgment. You are actually dead, and your fate is to be punished for the eternity, but that's not cool at all. You don't want to live in Inferno forever, you know? So you join the rebellion against this fate, and with other fellow rebel souls, you fight your way through the beyond, through Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso in a desperate attempt to find a way to escape this fate.
Now, you talked in 33 Immortals, you face the wrath of God in a fight for your eternal life. Tell us about what inspired the idea for this game.
So it came from... So at Thunder Lotus, we like to be inspired by mythological world. And this time around, it was the Divine Comedy, the classic Italian poem written in the 14th century by Dante Alighieri that inspired us. And in this poem, Dante tells the story of himself going through Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, and discovering everything that happened in those worlds, how sinners are punished in Inferno, how they repent in Purgatorio, and how they discover a new way of being, of thinking in Paradiso. And finally, Dante face God and meet God. And this was the key starting inspiration. And then from there, we wanted to make the first multiplayer game of the studio too. And so we learned a lot about the source material, so the Divine Comedy, and we brainstormed a lot, okay, what kind of multiplayer game we would like to make. And finally, we arrive on this idea of, okay, but what if... what if we play as damned soul and we are actually going through Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, but to escape our fate? And this came from the fact that in a multiplayer game, you know, the more important story for us is the story that happened between players. Mm-hmm. You know, helping each other work, playing together, and the stories that could happen in the world of the game, but also the stories that happen between friends when we play the game together, you know, talking about what happened, joking about what happened yesterday when we were working together. So we created this universe to let player live a story together. But not really tell a precise story, but let them join the rebellion and live their story for the game with other players.
Stefan, so we talked about, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier, it's got, you can play it with 33 players. This is PvE, not PvP, correct?
Yeah, correct. It's we focus on cooperation. Mm-hmm. It's something that we were not seeing so much in gaming, like cooperation at this scale, having 33 players cooperating together. And actually, the inspiration comes from MMO, like World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 16, that do raid. You know, these big moment, big content where a lot of players join together and mm-hmm. fight giant monster and this kind of thing. And so, and we love those kind of experience, those kind of social and multiplayer experience. But I thought it was a bit sad that you had to, have a big organization and invest a lot of time into making that happen. I wanted that to bring this kind of experience, this red-like experience, in a pick-up-and-play, pick-up-and-ride instant fashion. Like, is it possible to make those experience into really easy and accessible experience, you know, without all the preparation. So you can just pick up and play, enter a raid, have fun. So how do we make that? That was a big question during our conception.
Of course, we saw during the showcase that this is going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass, and you're going to have early access. And we'll talk about that towards the end. But what was it like to see 33 Immortals to be part of the showcase this past weekend? You know, this grand show with lots of titles, including your own. That's got to feel really good.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like it was a dream come true for the team, for me. It was so satisfying to be part of the community. I was in the room with everyone, with all the fans, and there was so much energy, and so amazing content. Like it was really, really something. Like a memory, one of the best moments of my life, I would say. Like having a game, like we worked like so hard, like for the last few years to make this game, to make this happen. That this moment was exceptional. Yeah.
You also had you had an event where you had some of the press have hands on for the first time, which I guess went well, is yeah. very good as well. That must have been fun to really take the covers off of it that way.
Oh, yeah. All the afternoon. We played a version of the game with the press, and we had a lot of fun. It was really interesting to start playing in co-op, like directly with everyone, we died a lot. So yeah, like everyone was dying a lot, and we saved each other, and so we everyone started to use the co-op power. So really, like the unique power each weapon has, that you need other players to take position on a sigil you put on the ground, and also we were like developing tactics to get rid of those dangerous elites, monster elites, really fast. Like it was really fun. Like I was happy that it was in a multiplayer game like 33 Immortal, the game really exists when players play together.
Yeah.
It's the game dynamic, you know, happen at this moment. When you play 33 Immortal alone, you are alone. It's that, but when you play together, that's where the fun happens. And we were like playing and talking and having fun together, and it was a really, really a good moment. And I was really happy to share this with journalists and enjoy the game together.
Yeah, 33 Immortals is a departure from some of your other titles. Can you tell us about some of the differences and maybe some of the similarities that people might have picked up on between 33 Immortals and maybe some of your previous games in your portfolio?
Yeah. So in terms of similarities, we are drawn, we are classically animated, like our characters are drawn by our artists and animators. And it's really something we really love, like this 2D style at Thunder Lotus, and something that we built upon, and we push our art style further each time. So that's really a similarity. Something else also, if you look at a previous game of Thunder Lotus, we made Jotun, which is a game that happened in a Viking mythology, and a warrior fight giant monster, and also Sundered, where the protagonist fight a lot of monsters. Yeah. So before Spiritfarer, we had we made games about with combat gameplay with huge encounter, and so we draw a lot of inspiration from them too for 33 Immortals, where you are gonna fight a lot of monsters, also having giant and massive boss encounter with 33 players. And so those are the similarities, and in terms of difference, it's really the multiplayer aspect of it that is a huge learning for the studio. This is the first online multiplayer game that the studio is doing. And so we have built a team specifically to make this game with a lot of developers that have experience in multiplayer, in developing and operating multiplayer games. Because those, we need a certain infrastructure, online infrastructure, to support this kind of game. We have an online engine. We have a lot of process and way of working and way of actually designing the game that is completely different from developing and working on a solo game. One example being, for instance, like 3 years ago, we started to do a prototype of the game with a lot of players, some monster, a world, and right away we played it. And from that day, we didn't stop to play the game and make it evolve. Like it's really like every week we play the game as a team.
Yeah.
And at first we were not 33, but but the studio grows. and at the moment, at some point we reached this size, 33 player, and we were able to actually in the studio have PlayStation and play the game and talk about it and develop it as we experience it.
You know, Stefan, you talked about the fact that this is a new muscle for your studio, this multiplayer component. You talked quite a bit about that. But that means we talked about the beginning of the interview, you're going to early access. Tell us about early access and what that means. And of course, it's going to be coming to Game Pass on console and PC. Tell us about early access.
So we are really happy with the announce of the game, because right now we can start to talk about it, and the next step for us is to let players play it and really see how it goes and talk with our community and develop the game with them. So this is the goal of early access. So next year, we are going to release the game on Xbox Series X and S and PC in early access, so on Game Pass, game preview also. And the goal of it is to progressively, until the early access and after, during the early access, to build a game, add content, add features, and see what works, what doesn't work, what the community thinks about it, what do they like and doesn't like, and really engage in a discussion to make the best game possible. You know, we have a lot of ideas, but we really want to see how those work with players playing the game, and what really work and what really doesn't work, and where we should head next. So yeah, that's really the goal. It's make the best game as we can with the community of 33 Immortals.
Fantastic. 33 Immortals, we saw it on the Xbox showcase earlier this week. Congratulations on the announce. You've got a lot of work to do now with game preview. Coming to Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass day one, but first you got to get that game preview. So Stefan Logier, Creative Director at Thunder Lotus, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Larry. Thank you.
On Sunday, we saw the reveal of Dungeons of Hinterberg, and joining us today are Regina Riesinger and Philip Seyfried. Did I get those? I totally butchered that, didn't I, guys?
It's Riesinger and Seyfried, but okay. That's totally fine. Riesinger
and Seyfried. Okay. Well, first of all, welcome to the Xbox podcast. Really excited to talk to you about the Dungeons of Hinterberg, which we saw in the Xbox podcast, or excuse me, in the Xbox showcase earlier this week. And for those folks that don't remember what that game was, this is kind of some of the gameplay. Can one of you explain to us what the game is about?
Yes, I'll take this. So Dungeons of Hinterberg is an action RPG with social simulation elements. And it's set in this small Austrian town by the name of Hinterberg. And Hinterberg used to be like a minor skiing and hiking resort until a few years ago, magic and magical dungeons appeared all around it. And you play as Luisa, the main character who comes to Hinterberg as one of the many visitors that come and try to complete all those dungeons. So it's kind of a mix of doing puzzling and combat in the dungeons and exploration, and then going to the village of Hinterberg and forging friendships there with like colorful locals and adventurers from all over the world and building up your skills that way.
Now, we talked about, before we started recording, we talked about, you know, you're in Austria right now. So it's what drew you to create a game based on where you live? I mean, I've never had the chance to go to Austria. My understanding, it is beautiful. But what makes this game Austrian?
So what motivated us to create it, I suppose, is that you have to write about what you know. So I think there's a lot of very nice destinations here, like the Alps are beautiful. And one thing we looked at was that in the past years, a lot of really great indie games came out that had strong narrative and that really made you feel like you were living in a place for a while, games like Night in the Woods, for example. But most of these are, you know, about American destinations, and we felt something with a European setting could be really interesting to a lot of people. That was one motivating factor.
Yeah, I mean,
another one was that when,
go ahead.
Pardon me.
No, go ahead, please.
Another one was that when we started production, it was just at the beginning of 2020, the pandemic started, there were a ton of lockdowns, and we really needed a vacation, so we, you know, thought one up in our heads.
Well, now we're seeing some of the gameplay here, and you talked about you talked a little bit about the gameplay. It's puzzles, it's dungeoning. Regina, tell us around a little bit about the art, because the art is also beautiful. And as the art director, I mean, that's just a stunning environment that you all have created.
Thanks. Yeah, it's like we both generally really enjoy stylized art. It's kind of more interesting to us, and of course it's also more suited to do it with a small team than trying to do something hyper realistic. And we both looked a lot about on, let's say, graphic novels, comics, but also a lot of illustrators or also movies, just things outside of games that have a very stylized and very bold visuals, and we were a lot inspired by that, and we're going for these bold colors for a simplified style, but one that's very expressive at the same time. And it's not just my art direction. We also built Philip mainly when we started the game, started to build a custom render pipeline. So we're using Unity, but we do a lot of the rendering just custom made, so we can achieve these bold outlines, the colors, the shadows. We have kind of access to all of that would not normally be influenceable in Unity. So yeah, that was very important and interesting to us to do.
I also want to point out, you know, that Dungeons of Hinterberg is coming to Xbox Game Pass in 2024, next year sometime. You don't have a release date yet because you're still working on it, of course. But tell us about what it was like to unveil Dungeons of Hinterberg on the Xbox Showcase on Sunday last week.
It was absolutely amazing. We had to stay quiet, or we stayed quiet about the game for a year and a half. When we first started prototyping, we did some initial screenshots and put them on Twitter and had quite a good resonance. But then we stayed quiet for so long, and really it's been nagging at us that we can't talk about the game, and having this be shown for the first time at such an amazingly huge event, just being in that cinema in LA, it was It was one of the greatest moments we've had in years.
Yeah, we were really excited. Our hands were shaking a little bit,
well,
sitting there and waiting for it.
Because you have to remember, you were in LA with us. I was in Mexico City with 300 fans. We had people around the world at different fan fest events. And I have to tell you, when I was in the room when this game came on, and people were like, there was a murmuring in the crowd, like, what is this? We haven't seen this before. So I'm sure you saw the same thing in LA, and it happened in other places. So there's genuine excitement about this game in terms of like, what is it? And it does the right amount of pique my interest to tell me more about it. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing about the project?
There's so much about it that we love, but maybe like a bit like Philip hinted at before, for us it was, it kind of all started with creating a place, just this modern day small town where then something really exceptional happens. Like, what if magic came into our world now and you could just buy a ticket and go there basically and see that? And then how do people react to that? For example, the people living in this village of Hinterberg, they kind of make a tourism industry out of it and invite people and kind of make a sport out of it. And to us, creating this place both like visually as well as gameplay wise, and then the thought of inviting players to come there and find their own way through it and choose which dungeons to do in which order and which NPCs and characters to hang out with and really have their own vacation. That's just something that, yeah, we really enjoy.
I agree with that. There's sort of a sense of realism in our approach, and I like that a lot about the game as well. Like, if magic really existed, what sort of people would that draw to the village? Tons of adventurers, but also tons of, you know, really just weird folk. And I think what we really like about this project is that we're building out from this idea, sort of. It's a fantastical game, but it's also, in a way, a realistic game, despite the visuals. And I think that results in a tone of voice that can at times be very original. And that's sort of what we're aiming for.
Oh, lovely. Well, I know, like I say, folks are really excited about getting their hands on it. What are you most excited for players to experience with Dungeons of Hinterberg?
It's hard to say. I think I'm most curious about which kind of way people pick through the game. Like, we do a lot in a very non-linear way. There's these areas around Hinterberg that are all inspired by real Austrian biomes and that all look very different. And then there's the dungeons hidden in those. And then you can go to this village and socialize there and do all kinds of stuff. And I really am so looking forward to seeing what path people pick through it, what they're more interested in or less interested in, and how the different experience will kind of compare. I can't wait to give it into people's hands and see that.
So again, the basic loop you go through in the game is something like, you wake up every morning, you go into an overworld, there's several different ones available, you look for a dungeon, you go into the dungeon, hopefully you will complete the dungeon, and then you get back to the village of Hinterberg, and that's where the socializing part takes place. So you hang out with different NPCs, you get to choose who you want to spend the evening with, and then get different relationship level ups, which are in turn your skill tree. And all of this is very, very non-linear in the sense that you get to choose who you hang out with, you get to choose the order of the dungeons. Mm. And I think people are going to take paths through this game that we ourselves can't really anticipate. Mm. And that's going to be super fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, we're looking at the game. There's so much interesting combat and gameplay and puzzling. We're seeing some of the puzzling here if you're watching the video on here. So it's a game that kind of has a lot of things. And I know we don't have a release date yet. You've just said 2024, which is perfectly fine. Coming to Xbox Game Pass. So if you'd like, I'd love to have you back on the show when you launch, whenever that is. But I want to also congratulate you on your unveil and being part of the Xbox showcase. We really, really love having you as part of Xbox. So thank you. Thank you for the game and thank you for your time. And I'll let you get back to work because you got to ship a game next year.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
We love being here and we're looking forward to more.
Thanks so much for the devs for sharing with us their first look at these new games. And I will say that 33 Immortals, we actually had playable for a subset of creators and media that had showed up in LA at our event, and they were playing with the devs. And there was a lot of like hollering and just like teamwork and awes and just sort of like great emotions happening here. And I think bringing that many players to I guess you would call it a Hades-like. It's just going to be really fun, and it was really fun seeing the reactions of people because they've played sort of a top-down. They've played Hades, and that's a solo game, and then it was like, oh, this co-op, and it was like, oh, four player, oh, six people, 33 people. There was a really good reaction from some folks. Ray Narvaez specifically on TikTok had a hilarious one. So cannot wait to play more of that. And of course, if you're a Game Pass member, you'll be playing it.
Not only that, but you'll be part of the preview. So thank you for that. As you said, thanks for all the guests there. So it was a lot of fun to them. We'll have more folks on over the coming weeks, talk about the games that you saw. Yes, I'm trying to get Todd Howard on, but I want to get him on at the right moment. So I'm going to work with those Todd's.
Can you believe we're going to be playing that game in less than 3 months? Like it's just like I'm so excited just thinking about it.
Here's my problem with that, Jeff. I can't wait to play the game, but if I play the game, that means summer's over.
I'm all right, because once that game comes out, I ain't leaving the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Summer. So, by the way, let's not talk about summer. It's 59 degrees here right now. What summer?
It was 85 two days ago, so what's going on? I don't know what's going up in Seattle, but I'm excited about all the games we see. But yeah, we'll be playing that. Playing Forza. Got to get some Forza action here. We saw the cover card. All right, we don't need to go through it again. News.xbox.com. Yeah. That's all you really need to know.
Actually, check out iJustine.
I've not chatted with her in forever.
She's great. She was up here where we had both of the cover cars, the Corvette and the Cadillac. She was climbing in, and it has a whole detail, like a history of Forza and the history of Forza's cover cars and then climbing into them. And so if you can check out her TikTok or her YouTube page, youtube.com/iJustine or TikTok.com/@iJustine. Cool stuff there. Give her a like.
And I also want I got asked this a lot in Mexico, and I get frequently asked on Twitter. No. I don't have TikTok.
Why not?
There's too many social media outlets, and that one is, you know, I'm not doing any strange dances. I'm not issuing any challenges. It's have fun, gang.
It is a more time intensive platform than something like Instagram to maintain. Yeah. But you know, there's a lot of
I'm not cool saying there's great content out there, but it's not for me.
The Xbox social team has a really good TikTok.
Yeah, they've got a whole team that does it. It's just me. That's why I'm sitting here switching the switches and doing everything like this for the podcast. So I don't have a team.
It's okay.
Jeff, I don't.
Anyway.
It doesn't need to be complicated.
Anyway, but you can find me on Instagram. I'm on Blue Sky. You know what I was experimenting with while I was in Mexico, you know, in my downtime, which was very little, the Fediverse. I was really experimenting with a lot of elements of the Fediverse. Really interesting stuff going on. The Fediverse. It's this concept where different services are federated. So there's a photo sharing site, like it would be like Flickr was, what's it called? Pixma? I can't remember what it's called. That, you know, if you're on Mastodon, you can add it to your feed and make comments from your Mastodon account that show up over there and vice versa. So there's like a Reddit knockoff and things like that. So there's all these, we're seeing the decentralization of a lot of the social media. So I'm doing a lot of experimenting in the Fediverse right now.
Wow.
Always ahead of the game, right?
Like a cheese thing, right?
Yeah, it's
it also sounds like Woof from The Office, if you remember that. It's like consolidated all the social media accounts and gives you one notification for all of them. Anyway, sorry.
But they're not. What's interesting is it's not one of them. It's all of them. They're just kind of collected all together, and they're again. That's why they call it federated, because they're federated. So in computers, we call things federated that are collected. So it's the Fediverse.
Look
for me on the Fediverse if you want.
Yeah, we'll be looking back at this podcast in 10 years and going, Larry knew.
Just telling you. Everyone's out there doing dances and flipping things around and Mentos and Coke, and I'm looking at the Fediverse.
Mentos and Coke? That's totally okay.
All right, gang. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you for downloading the show. Make sure you drop a comment, and if you're watching on YouTube or even listening on YouTube, find us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, and where all your finer podcasts are distributed. We'll be there. So if I missed one, hit me up on Twitter and let me know. Anything you guys want to say before we go? Nope. Okay.